Hey guys, I'm Keith Finch here, and you are watching or listening to Gun Day Brunch, brought to you by Taurus USA and Bleecker Street Publications. I can say that because I'm better at ad reads than Caleb, and he's not here to dispute this. Also, it's my company. I work for it. And he doesn't, so I have an unnatural advantage. Anywho, I am flying solo here for this SHOT Show Hangover episode. And you might be saying to yourself, Keith, but SHOT Show was a week ago. Yeah, we know. The hangover for that event lasts a week, especially as we are further and further aging in the industry. Anywho, you don't want to hear about the problems that we have the week after SHOT Show. Although, fun fact, a little insider baseball, if you were trying to get a hold of anybody within the gun space after SHOT Show and they attended SHOT Show, don't do it the week after. Like, give them 1 week of grace to unbury from the nightmare pile of emails and text messages and all the things they have to get through post SHOT Show, and then move forward with SHOT Show. That goes for orders, that goes for shipping, that goes for everything. Right about today, which is Thursday, is when you will start seeing catch up emails usually. Those first 3 days, don't even bother. They are busy. Now, moving on to SHOT Show itself. How did 2026 go? It was an iterative year. It was not a revolutionary year. There was nothing super crazy that got developed. There were a couple of cool things. The air-cooled kind of jet turbine suppressor w was one of them. Vortex releasing their 10, they weren't there at the floor, but the Vortex releasing their 10X, EOTech's new tiny little 3x9 and 4x12s, the new iterations of those, the new reticles of those are really cool. They're all machined body EXPS HD, they're high definition. That was pretty cool. 2011s are 2011s in the next couple of years are going to peak. And plateau, and there are going to be a lot of 2011s on the market. There are going to be a lot of good 2011s on the market. Several more were introduced. I know a few more that are in development that I hope to see added to the market space, just because much like the golden age of striker fire that we have been having for the last 10 years or so, I think we can enter the golden age of the 2011, where we have that platform just running very, very well, and you have many options to getting into a good one. And just because of the nature of that gun, the 1911 2011 platform are so eminently shootable. They're very, very fun to shoot because they're very good at heat and recoil and handling trigger presses because of the light single action trigger. I think we're going to see the steady incline there of the popularity of the 2011. I expect that if I pick up anything this year, it's going to be some 2011 models. Maybe one, maybe more than one. We will see. There are probably some rifles that'll end up in there too. I always say I'm not going to get anything this year, that I don't need anything this year, and that is always a lie. So we'll see there. But yeah, 2026 was iterative. We're seeing slower but steady advancements in some of the tech that was more explosive in 24 and 25. High pressure case tech is one of those that didn't get a lot of buzz, but we are seeing more development in and push towards. And I expect us to see that tech truly, truly mature to the point where it could be highly commercial viable within the next, probably before 2030, we will see high pressure case tech mature to a point where it is commercially viable. I could be wrong. I've been wrong on things before, but just based on the current trajectory with high pressure, that seems very, very likely that we're going to start seeing more high pressure tech influence the marketplace. Very dependent on the adoption and the influence of high pressure tech in the military and defensive spaces, and maybe law enforcement spaces as well. It's just going to have to it's going to have to find its niches the same way that hybrid calibers do. One of the big things One of the big releases, FN's new Scar platform, the update to the Scars, that was a variation of contracts maturing, moving forward, expiring, reaching the end of their cycles. And so a lot of iterative changes were available on like the Scar rifle. And the ups and downs of various other platforms. One of the things that we are still seeing in various spaces is just because you make the just because you make a very, very, a very good version of something, doesn't mean it is the best for all use cases, or that it is worth the iterative and adoption costs of changing from what is already established. It goes back to the whole concept of the best is the enemy of the good. The best thing on the market is sometimes the enemy of the thing that is more than good enough. And we saw that point, speaking of Scars and pointing to the couple behind me, we saw that with the Scar program in the early 2000s. So the 16 specifically was a 5.56 rifle that did what the M4 was capable of doing with a few updates. So it didn't really do anything magical that the M4 wasn't capable of, and FN at the time delivered two rifles for the program. The 17 was far more revolutionary in the space because it was lightweight. It was 7.62 by 51. It ran well, and you had this 8 pound 308 that was really accurate. And if you put the 13 inch barrel in it, it was the same size space profile roughly as an M4, had a folding stock. There were a lot of uses that the 17 could bring to the table that the 16 just didn't do in any margin better than the M4. And M4s were already in inventory, so why buy replacements for something that is already fulfilled? It's not like going from a 9 millimeter PCC, like a or a submachine gun, like an MP5, to an M4 in a law enforcement or a defensive standard, where you are dramatically changing the performance envelope of the rifle. The iterative improvements that the SCAR program brought over the AR-15 and the M4, they were very academic. They were mathematical improvements. They didn't influence enough of what the end user would experience. Because if you're looking at a if you're holding a gun that's going to run 7, 8 magazines without a problem, and whether it's a SCAR or whether it's an AR-15, then who cares? It's a rifle. It does its job. It's what your agency, your department, or your branch issued you. Go forth, don't break it, turn it in when you're done. Yeah, 2026, rolling into it. It's going to be an interesting year. We will see the developments. I suspect we will have quite a bit more feel of how the year is going to go by NRAM in spring, in April. So we will see you guys in Houston there. I love NRAM. I really, really do. I love the NRA annual meeting show because it's a public show. I don't love it because the NRA throws it. I love it because it is a public show. It's a consumer show, and it's nice to interact, and it's nice to see interaction between consumers, actual people who are buying these products, and the product manufacturers, and get some of that direct consumer interaction. And I'm sure, and I know it does. I know answering some of the same questions over and over and again, the frequently asked questions, and everything, it can get tiresome. It can get burdensome to people who've done it over and over and again, sometimes for years. But the recognition that people are still asking these questions, people still want to know the answers, they still want to learn and grow personally, because just because you've said the answer before doesn't mean that the person asking has ever heard it. There are a lot of people out there, and you're only speaking to so much audience at any given time on any given day. So I love the NRA show for that. I love the public interaction, and the people watching is phenomenal. Some of the people who come out in Atlanta, in the tech, in Houston, in Dallas, they dress very interesting, and it is incredibly entertaining. So keep doing that. I'm here for NRA cosplay. Oh, please keep doing that. It's much fun. Well, guys, that's all the time I have today. I'm going to continue my SHOT Show hangover. Caleb is hungover and running toward a plane right now, if I understand my timelines correctly. He's not actually hungover, he's just busy. And the frozen and we're still dealing with the attack of the preemptive attack from Greenland by shipping their weather over here via FedEx Express. And letting it sit in the continental United States. So everything's frozen. And as depending on where you are various stages of frozen. So please keep warm, stay safe, drive safely, and we will see you next week with a new episode.